Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you're new to the program, this is a comedy show where we take a rancid, wretched old movie, take it out for air, and kick it around a little bit like a dead dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll run jokes right into the ground.
Oh, like, right
into
the ground.
You think something's funny now, pal? Uh-uh. Not in 10 minutes.
Wait, I think something's funny now. I think it's even more funny the 17th time I say it. Also featured bad impressions of all sorts of celebrities you don't care about. So this week, speaking of bad impressions, we got Peter O'Toole sort of starring in 1984's Supergirl, directed by Jeanette Zwark. Also the director of Jaws 2, by the way, which is the only watchable Jaws sequel. Not watchable? Supergirl.
Nope.
This is a shit show.
This is it's like watching paint dry for me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man...
This movie's got a bloodbath of aftermath. Supergirl, the character, is likely killed off in 1985 because of the poor box office performance. And forever.
Wait, you're saying they took her out of comics too?
Yes.
Is that canon?
Are you?
Is that canon?
Mm-hmm.
Movie's canon.
They executed her.
They executed her.
Was it a firing squad with kryptonite rounds?
No.
Notice how I said. I paused on I was like, it's kryptonite, right?
Is that the one that kills him?
Wait, it's not carbonite.
It's not kryptonite. It's kryptonite, okay. Not carbonite. Yeah, she died in a big 1985 crossover, and then which fucked the character for like 20 years. She became an angel for a while. She became an alien named Matrix for a little bit.
That's really stupid.
A shape-shifting alien.
What is that, Green Lantern stuff now?
It's all gobbledygook.
That sounds like gobbledygook, actually.
Because they got all afraid of, like, I mean, there was this push to be like, look, Superman's the last Kryptonian. That's it. I don't want to know about Supergirl, Super Pets, or Super Grandpa. It's only Superman, and he's the last one out of Metropolis alive. Krypton.
He's the last one out of Krypton alive. But she's not from Krypton. They're from, at least in this movie. Now, I don't know about comic lore.
Well, it's the same planet, right? Or is it just like it's like the suburbs?
No, it's outpost.
It's poorly explained.
Oh, planet poorly explained. Well, of course.
I've been there.
Argo City, or the city of Argos, or whatever the hell it's called.
I think it's just Argo.
That's
Argo.
Ben Affleck, right?
It's that Ben Affleck movie that everybody loved.
Planet Affleck. Wait, but it's like an outpost on like a moon or something.
It
shit,
is.
Isn't
it's
it?
Basically if the pilgrims came to America and then England just was destroyed. And like that's...
So it's still the last outpost of like Kryptonians.
Exactly.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wouldn't tell from the shitty production design in this movie because it doesn't look anything like the crystalline-centric culture of Krypton that we've seen in all the other movies.
It'd be great if everyone was Italian because Marlon Brando is Italian. He's the most famous one. You know, there's like, you get Al Pacino up there. You get like Pauly Walnuts, who's probably like 48 at that time.
Pauly Walnuts, 48 in 1984. Yeah, that makes sense.
Something like that.
A young Joey Pants.
Yeah. Oh, man. You got Joe Pantoliano. Yeah,
what am I fucking doing? I'm Planet Argo.
He was trim and, you know, young buck and Risky Business years later.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Supergirl, you want to make some extra cash?
You're getting right in my fucking face, Supergirl. Man, so you know what this movie wants to be so hard?
Good.
A Superman movie. Yeah. And it doesn't care which one. It would love to be the first one. It will settle for Quest for Peace.
Yes. Well, the other fallout from this, aside from likely the reason that the character was killed off, was all the film rights went to Canon. Warner Brothers was like, nope. Yeah. Superman 3 plus this, fuck it. Go to this werewolf company or whatever the hell they did.
Oh, right, though. This is before Quest for Peace.
Exactly. So this is post-Superman 3, the atrocity
Right off the heels of it, right?
Yes, exactly. It was like a 1-2 punch, and Warner Brothers was like, you know what?
Fuck it.
I mean, the Saul kinds, by the way, should be banned from making movies. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're still around now, but this Alexander Saul kind, he's poison.
Do you ever see that Santa Claus movie?
Oh, yeah, Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah,
directed by the same guy who did this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a tall glass of water last Christmas, mm-hmm. or thereabouts.
Ooh. Happy holidays.
You know, no, I had two tall glasses of water. I had one, and I was like, it's not enough.
Remember, kids, leave one out for Santa Claus.
I gotta drive this sleigh, man.
And I melted into my couch watching this movie, and I was like, they're just so merry that the merriment won't end, because it's mostly elves going, like, dancing around, getting ready for Christmas, mm-hmm. without much conflict until John Lithgow becomes scary.
What? What is this movie about?
It's like Santa Claus v, like, a corporation on Earth creates an anti-Santa Claus.
Okay.
I like it.
And Dudley Moore is an elf, and he goes to work for them. Yeah,
oh,
and
man.
But there's so much, like, I don't know. How are we going to make these toys? 40 minutes of dancing.
Is this a stay tuned?
It's possibly a stay tuned. I will be stone sober the next time I watch it. Bring a buddy if you're going to watch this movie with some water.
Oh, the buddy system's a must.
All right, so I think this is a good place to start with Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter O'Toole as Zoltar. Oh, man. Peter O'Toole is Zoltar.
That's the fortune-telling robot from Big, right?
That's what I thought. Turns out it's just some weird space pervert, this character of Zoltar. I mean, because here's the thing, everybody. You got Peter O'Toole. He's old-ass Peter O'Toole, and he's like the town magician or whatever. He's like magician slash artist or some such. He built this whole city of Argo.
He's dressed like Monroe from Too Close for Comfort this whole movie. These like really early 80s pastel sweaters they got him in.
But then you got, you know, Helen Slater. Right? Mm-hmm. Her name's Helen Slater?
Yes.
Playing Supergirl. And she's
Kara Zor-El, by the way.
Kara Zor-El, right. She's the niece of
Marlon Brando. You can see it in the eyes.
But here she is. I mean, she's like, whatever, like 18 maybe in this movie. I don't know how old the actress is, but like Supergirl is supposed to be like 17, 17, something like
that. She's supposed to be able to pass for a high school student.
Yes. Right. And this is just like, oh, hello there, Kara Zor-El. Oh, how are you today? I'm drawing a tree. Look at this pretty tree. Would you like to take a look? That's more James Mason than Peter O'Toole, but you get the point. He's being fucking creepy to a kid.
He's got this magic wand that looks like a bong, speaking of tall glasses of water. It's just like this Dale Chihuly-esque creation. And he's like, oh, you want to see some magic, Supergirl? And it's just like, oh, okay, buddy.
I just want to say, we don't know what the age of consent is there.
Oh, on Krypton, that's
Argo?
Very true.
Yeah.
Or Argo.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing, dude. Age of consent on Krypton was like 20. But then they were like, no, the city of Argo is being formed under new laws. One of those new laws? Lowering the age of consent.
That's the whole reason for the rift, huh? A bunch of space perverts on an abandoned planet.
Why is that the one law you proposed?
Well, you got to start somewhere. Not just going to come up with a book of laws right away.
Okay.
So he's got this magic wand, and he's like, you know, I've got this magic piece. And this is a lot of, like, combining elements I don't know what they do or what they are.
Oh, man, the wizardry zippity-doo-dah in this movie is off the chain.
He's like the founder of the city. He's like a genius. He created everything. Like, oh, we owe everything to you, Zoltar. And he pulls out this thing, and then he's like, I also stole the Agamendra, the Omega Hendron, whatever the hell.
Right, it's like, what, like a planet destroyer or something. Yes. It's like a magic ball of whatever.
Meanwhile, it looks like a shitty Christmas gift your aunt gives your grandmother. It's a little like metal ball with a candle inside it.
But by the way, guys, well, this is not adding up. This is like a real cult of personality here. I think this is like, this guy's like a David Koresh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the Kryptonian government knows what's going on here.
Oh, I think you're onto something here.
And he's just like, no, it's an outpost. Everyone be calm.
Yes, you're all my children. Every last one of you.
And we now have multiple wives.
All my little pretty brides.
Zoltar's million brides.
And then he's got this, like, this weapon. Mm-hmm. This guy's, he's playing for keeps.
It's WMD.
What we learn about this magic ball is it's what is keeping the whole outpost of Argo alive. It's responsible for
right.
the air, the food, and the fucking. You know, it's responsible for all of it.
I mean, that's laying a lot on the line.
Yep.
And Peter O'Toole has taken it out of its case or borrowed it or whatever for the purposes of, like,
gonna make this tree look a lot cooler, bro. Just gotta use the octahedron. Oh, yeah.
You sprinkle some of this octahedron on it. Oh, man.
Wow, this thing can do anything.
It sure can.
Oh, it sure can. Don't worry. It sure can. And so he admits to stealing this thing. And what's her name? Kara Zor-El?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, she's like, you know, Zoltar, that's pretty dangerous and illegal. And he's like,
well, when you create a whole city, you can do whatever you want.
And
yeah. No such thing as police on Argo. No one's watching anyone.
And you know what I love?
I am the police.
He's Judge Dredd. He's wearing that helmet.
Or he's Biff Tannen.
Kid, I am the police.
But what I love about this is, like, he's the creator of this whole universe and whatnot. And, like, Kara Zor-El's parents are giving him shit. They're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, you're talking to that creepy old shit Zoltar again, huh? Mm-hmm. Why don't you get away from old man Zoltar?
Mia Farrow, who has a sixth sense about this sort of thing, comes over.
She's got a sixth sense with her six lines in this movie.
It's just like, you know, what's going on here? Where's the Omega Hendron? And he's like, oh, I took it out for air. And just like, I don't know if that makes sense. He's like, here, Kara, go have some fun with it.
He, like, kicks it across the room.
No, the whole fucking plan. I mean, I think he's bored. I think he doesn't. Yeah. He also talks about, like, I'm planning a trip to Earth or maybe Mars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to go to Earth, possibly Venus. I don't know. We'll see where the day takes me, where the Omega Hedron takes me. And she's like, wait, you're going to use this thing that's responsible for, like, maintaining life on this planet or in this, like, dome city, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're going to take it out, like, cruise the galaxy with it. Meanwhile, we need it to live. And he's like, yeah, 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 don't worry about that.
So he's like, hey, go amuse yourself. Go buy something. Go buy us a buy two sodas. Give me one, too.
And she's like, she makes some butterfly or something. And using that and the other thing. And it flies through. Apparently, this place is held together by cellophane.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. This window is it's just plastic. And this thing rips right through it. And, you know, Kara Zor-El's getting sucked out of this thing, and I'm like, oh, that's space right there.
Mm-hmm.
More than just, like, this person would be getting sucked. This whole thing is collapsing
well,
on itself.
Well, there's a lot to go into here, and thank God Steve is here for this. Okay, so Zoltar there is saying, actually, that's not space. It's inner space, and Earth is all the way in outer space.
Yep.
Steve, inner space, please explain.
It's a movie with Dennis Quaid wherein Martin Short goes, no, it's nonsense. It's just all nonsense.
Oh, I thought this was a whole thing. I was going to ask you, like, now, if I, as a Earthman, go into inner space, yep. Do I get superpowers?
Your asshole falls out of your body, actually.
That's kind of super.
It's like, you want to see that 22 miles of intestine or 22 feet of intestine?
Yeah, for me, it's the longer one.
It's all bullshit, is what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, maybe somebody's read the comic where this. I don't think so. I think somebody just said whatever.
So Krypton's another planet. It's not in inner space. Because then I was thinking, like, is he talking about, like, you know how people are like, hey, man, the whole universe is like an atom on a giant's fingernail. Is Krypton in a different universe on a giant's fingernail?
Maybe this is where, again, not just the Age of Consent, maybe like Zoltar had a bunch of crazy ideas. Like, we're not even in outer space, man.
They kicked him out of Krypton.
Yeah, they're like, you know what, dude? Take your followers and get the fuck out of here.
Follow-up question about the her name.
Yeah.
Kara...
Zor-El.
Zor-El. And now Superman is Kal-El?
Yes, and his father is Jor-El.
But what is Kal-El's first name? Because she's got Kara.
His name is Kal.
It's Cal. Oh, and then L. And yeah. Her, but her name, her last name is Zor-El.
Yeah, Zora dash L. So maybe she, her, maybe.
Oh, it's hyphenated.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Oh, it's maybe the modern marriage. Yeah.
They're very progressive. Yeah, progressive.
Exactly. There. Oh, yep. That's exactly what it is. Solved it. Progressive Argonians here. So the thing gets sucked out into space, and they're like, well, we're all going to be dead in days. And like, while they're yelling at Peter O'Toole about all this, Kara Zor-El gets in like a little spaceship.
She steals his ride, man.
Yeah.
He had that thing gassed to go to Pluto.
Yeah, well, he was ready to start out on his bucket list adventure. And she steals it, and she's like, I'm going to make something of myself, and I'm going to do this.
Oh, don't you dare take my Skinner CD. Oh, they're on the... She left them on the floor. Don't look in the glove box. Whatever you do, don't look in the glove box, child.
So she's, like, zooming through space, and this is like...
I like to feel it. Right now, she's going through the space.
That would be so much better.
He's shaking his fist at her.
That would be so much better than this rip-off John Williams score that we're doing here. And this is Jerry Goldsmith, a master in his own right.
Sure.
And they're just like, hey, man, you're working for the Saul Kinds now. Bootleg that John Williams score best you can. We'll be here waiting to make all the money. And you know, it's just shitty. That's shitty. The fucking credit sequence tries to look like the Superman credit sequence. Also turns out to be shitty.
I read on IMDb trivia that that opening credit sequence cost $1 million.
Holy shit.
In 1984 money.
Yeah, which is, in today's money, $78 million.
I think that Boyhood cost less to make than the, like, counting for inflation, whatever the Supergirl credit sequence was.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And you know what sucks? You spent $1 million to make shitty looking credits.
Yeah, I could get you a boy and watch him grow way cheaper than that. I do it all the time.
I know you're always offering, which I appreciate.
They're walking around everywhere.
He's a generous man, Steve.
One thing that's important
it's my favorite part of the movie. How did I fuck this up?
It's Mia Farrow and her husband, whatever his name is.
Nigel.
Is he Nigel?
You're thinking confusing. You're ahead of the game. We're still back on Argo for a minute.
Back on Argo, the planet's whole solar system gets sucked out the window, and then their daughter just goes after it. And like Mia Farrow's like, we're gonna be dead in days. Like she literally says that. It's like, we've got days, and then we're dead.
Because they're gonna run out of air,
and
the idea.
Peter O'Toole's like, I guess I'll go to the Phantom Zone then.
AKA, how little can I be in this movie?
And my fate is sealed. I've lost the Omega Hedron. I must be sent to the Phantom Zone. Your suffering will be short. Mine, forever.
And they're like, no, Zoltar, that's a little extreme. We don't believe in the death penalty here on Argo. He's like, no, I'm fine. Off to the Phantom Zone.
It almost seems kind of selfish there because he's just like, oh, my suffering will be long. You'll die real quick.
Yeah.
But I'll be alive for a while. I'll be in pain, but I'll be alive.
Now, and this is what they don't show, by the way. Is there just a door that you jump through and you can go into the Phantom Zone?
You've got like one of the probably one thing. It's like hidden. It's like that cool mirror that you jump into that gets sucked around there. Maybe
because
that...
he just turns. He like bout faces away from the two of them. He's like, no, Phantom Zone is fine.
I mean, it's a first offense. We can get you. We can knock it down.
No, eternity in the Phantom Zone, please.
That's only a ticket. It's only points on your license.
He just wants
Phantom Zone, please.
He wants to be a martyr.
Yeah, he does.
So he can come back as a god one day and really get what he wants.
Yeah, totally. So he throws himself in movie jail, but you don't even see it. Like, the camera, like, kind of starts to tilt up and goes out of focus. Mm-hmm. And then we just cut to, Karen. She's just, like, zooming through space. We're totally ripping off Jupiter and Beyond the Infinity here.
Sure.
We're just zooming through. We're doing a bunch of, like, colored lights and like water pressed against glass effect kind of thing. And she's just like, I'm having a great time risking my life.
One thing that's weird is everybody knows apparently on Argo who Superman is. And she's like, oh, my cousin on Earth,
right?
Superman, you're going to go see him, huh? And it's like, well, how do you know? Like, what news reports are you getting?
What communication was there after the destruction of Krypton?
Yeah.
That the people on Argo are getting the news from Earth that there's a survivor. It doesn't make any sense.
It's silly is what it is.
Now, do you recall, is this the origin story of Supergirl from the comic?
No, she just kind of shows up one time. And like, yeah. She's, I don't know. I mean, like, basically, similarly, she was part of a colony or whatever that, you know, was apart from Krypton.
Right.
I mean, she has a million origins, but the prominent one is, like, you know, she kind of was suspended and then, like, is released. It's like, oh my God, I was 60. Like, the whole thing was she was always older than Clark, but looked younger because she was suspended animation.
Oh, frozen.
Like he was
time.
A baby when, you know, he got out.
Right.
She was
freaky.
Yes.
Whoa, man.
So then we cut to Faye Dunaway. Oof. And this English actor portraying Nigel.
Peter Cook. Peter Cook, Cook. Of Cook and Moore, or Moore and Cook.
Yeah, I think he was in Yellowbeard. That's all I got.
A comedy team of Dudley Moore, the comedy partner of Dudley Moore.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
In that, the original Bedazzled, I think he's the devil.
Oh, he is, actually. That's totally right. And then he's got some kind of cameo in that Brendan Fraser remake, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys, by the way, died pretty young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty shocking. Yeah.
It's life in sketch comedy, man. It fucking kills you.
Live fast, die hard.
Die laughing.
But there are some people out there that think that Dudley Moore is actually still Kirk Cameron, but I don't know. Those are truthers that I don't really believe in.
Oh, no, yeah.
He never switched back.
Yeah, you're not a like father, like son truther?
Yeah.
I saw that documentary. What was it? Loose Sons? Explained everything.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, hey, look, there's evidence there. I choose not to believe it.
Look, you know what, though? That's a good sign, because if anything, that means that even though his body is dead, Dudley Moore's still alive and Kirk Cameron's in the fucking ground.
And then he just, you know,
Dudley's keeping up appearances as being a hateful piece of garbage.
Yes.
Yep. that makes sense to me.
Now, here's how you freak yourself out. Imagine Kirk Cameron speaking in Dudley Moore's, like, drunk Arthur voice.
Oh, man.
That'll keep you up at night.
Ooh, future case file.
Homosexuality's a sin. Gross.
So anyway, we're on Earth, we're having a picnic, and it's just like, you realize right away, like, oh, these are the villains of the movie, and we are so far from Gene Hackman, we're so far from Richard Pryor, you're far away.
We are far from Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
That's a bad place to be.
Well, because we're doing magic. And that's a big freaking problem, because magic and Superman, it happens, but it shouldn't happen.
It happens.
It's like when the X-Men go to space. Sure, it happens.
But it shouldn't.
It's not something that I...
Like when fucking Batman goes to space to go to that fucking Justice League headquarters.
Yes.
Stay on Earth, Bruce.
Yeah.
I don't need Batman in space. I never did. I never will.
Superman runs afoul of voodoo like anybody, but you know what? I don't need that coming in my movie.
Sure, right. Even James Bond ran afoul of voodoo once or twice. You know, these things happen.
In the comic books, that's fine, right? That's a funny paper. But this is a movie.
Yes.
All right? It's got to breathe like a movie.
Yes.
And you know what the logic of this villain is? It's Faye Dunaway as this evil Selina the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
She has the exact same logic.
Selina the Middle-Aged Witch.
As that villain thing from that first Ewoks movie.
Yes.
Where
the
he wants the vague power.
Yeah,
or is that in the second one? The second one, where the big monster thing's like, I just want the power. She's just like, she finds the little ball. It like lands in their soup. They're having this picnic. And she's just like, oh, this will lead to giving me immortality and all the power. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? How do you know that any of this is true?
It's going to give you cancer.
Exactly. Your cells are crinkling up right now.
I think I could see it because, man, her face in this movie, it's like she's wearing clown makeup.
She is wearing like clown makeup. It's ridiculous.
It's Mommy Dearest mode the entire freaking time. And she's like overacting. And I mean, like she's turned in some great performances over her career. Like, she's a fantastic actress, and she's kind of almost sort of the female Gene Hackman if you had to choose somebody, maybe, you know?
But crossing paths in Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes. I understand the casting and everything, but just the role.
The role's terrible. Yeah. And she's, I mean, she's just fucking really hammy in this movie. The lighting is always hilarious because they always like do this thing where it's like the top of her face in shadow. Like, it's her eyes always, like, they have this like streak of light across her eyes.
It's like a noirish, like, evil.
Yeah, it's very distracting.
It's so stupid.
And her relationship with Peter Cook or Nigel is like, he's a flat-out warlock, right?
He's a grade-A all-American warlock.
Level 5 warlock.
American?
Yeah. He put in the paperwork.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, as long as they're coming here legally. There's going to be a door in the wall. Shut up.
It's a door for English warlocks only.
You better keep practicing as a warlock, because you can't go on warlock unemployment and keep your citizenship.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Even though your dumb little warlock kids were born in this country, they're getting the boot out, too.
But, like, she's been using him because he's, like, much more practiced in evil than she is.
Right.
And the second she gets this, she's like, hey, fuck you, Nigel. And, like, you know, that's her kind of character. And she retreats back to an abandoned carnival in which she lives. She's living like a supervillain before she's a supervillain.
See, that's the clown makeup makes sense now.
I was going to say she's trying to live like a supervillain, but is in reality living like a Scooby-Doo villain. Yeah. By living at a haunted carnival.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a bunch of PT bullshit.
And by the way, right after they leave this picnic space to go back to the haunted carnival, Supergirl flies out from underwater, like in this lake, in full Supergirl costume. Yep. And I'm like, so wait, is the city under the water? What is going on?
I don't know. I mean, at the end when she wins, spoiler alert, I apologize. She returns to the water to go to the city. So I don't know, like, I don't know how interdimensional space works. I apologize.
Maybe there's a wormhole down there that we don't see.
Let somebody ping Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yep,
he'll explain Supergirl for us.
Fact check the scientific accuracy of Supergirl.
Remember to tweet at Neil Tyson.
Okay, and by the way, we haven't heard shit yet about Moontrap, so now we got two for him.
It's piling up. Let him know that it's piling up.
He's like, blibbity blow, the Martian. And I'm like, how about Moontrap? We've been in line.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, the inner space angle, maybe Krypton and that whole colony is in the lake, guys. It's like an atom in the lake.
Wow, bro.
I thought you were going to say that Argo and Krypton are actually behind a bookshelf and someone's tapping on books.
Also,
making them fall off a shelf in a farmhouse.
A distinct possibility. Although I think Neil deGrasse Tyson proved that space ghosts aren't real, or did he?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to double check his timeline.
They can't even go coast to coast.
But what I love about this movie is it's like, hey, man, and that's what this movie shouldn't be, by the way, 2 hours and 15 minutes or however long this
movie. Well, now this is what I want to ask you guys, because, you know, we do not watch movies together anymore. That's the old ways of the show. Very rarely does that happen. Now, we watch them on our own. We're responsible for getting copies of the movie on our own.
I've been using deodorant a lot. I just want to be super clear.
That was the catalyst for us splitting up watching.
Yeah, maybe in a year we'll think about it.
Okay, we'll revisit.
But there are so many versions of this movie on DVD and VHS and like Amazon and whatever. So you watched the 218, because so did I.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I watched the 205, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
What?
How did I have 13 more minutes than you?
Yeah.
Which did you watch?
I think I watched the international version, which is pretty much the only version you can really get anymore,
I go to this great, I'll give them a plug because they've done a lot of show research for me, Book Off on West 45th Street in New York City.
Uh-huh.
You can get yourself a nice $5 DVD of whatever nonsense you're looking for. Uh-huh. And a bunch of cool books and Blu-rays too. It's all used. And it's kind of like going to a Blockbuster for me because I don't know what I'm going to go in and get. I don't know what's going to be there.
The mystery's alive.
Exactly. And that's how I find garbage. And that's where I got this. It's a single disc DVD. I think that there was like a 3-disc Who Gives a Shit around the time of Superman Returns that came out.
Right.
Oh.
And I read that there was a 95-minute cut.
Oh, isn't that where you want to be?
That was the theatrical cut.
Mm-hmm. That's what
which you can't get anymore. It was released on VHS.
Yes.
And then when the rights went back to, I guess, Warner's or whatever, and whoever.
Yeah.
And they put out the DVDs.
Right.
They did international or director's cut, which are, what, like 128 minutes and 138 minutes.
Yeah.
So we are longer than Star Wars.
Oh, it's
we
longer are. Than Star Wars territory for sure.
Why can't I see that 95-minute cut? It was good enough for Lady America the first time.
Yeah, I want to see what Lady America saw.
Well, I think it's a thing now where it's just like, oh, the Saw kinds were really butchering things or something. Yeah, like, so this is the true vision of our director. I mean, whatever. I wish I got in and out in 95 minutes. I had to take an evening and part of a morning to get through all of this fucking movie, man. And you know where I think some of this could have been cut down? It's right here at this part in the movie where she's discovering her powers and she is flying around for, I'm not kidding you, like 3 to 5 minutes.
Honestly, I played with my cat for most of this movie. I had no patience for this.
She's like flying alongside horses at one point, yeah, and I'm like, I get it, man. She's accidentally crushing rocks, and it's like, you know what? I've seen the first 3 Superman movies. Yeah, I know what's
that's
going on.
Boring. If you want to do something new, have her crushing horses.
Just squeezing a horse's throat
right.
with her bare Supergirl hands.
I'm making super glue. And she just squishes it into goop.
I like that idea.
I'm fine with it.
We got to change it up.
But yeah, no, you're right. Well, I do kind of almost commend this movie where she doesn't have to be like, oh, that's right. She doesn't say stuff. It's not like, wait, I could fly? How do I? Huh? She just is enjoying it.
Yeah, there's no, I'm flying.
Yeah, it's none of that shit, which is nice enough. But also, if everyone on Argo knows, oh, if I go to Earth, I'm a god. I am finding my way to get to Earth.
Hey, you want to talk about an immigration problem.
Yeah, that's. I think that's Peter O'Toole was going to go on a sex vacation to Earth.
You know, oh, yeah.
I'll be the strongest pervert in the galaxy.
Wait a second. What does strength have to... Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Don't worry about it.
I got another comic book question for you. Now, she's wearing the classic S that we see her cousin Superman wearing. So she's only representing the L.
Yes, that's the House of L logo,
right,
which is an S
right.
for whatever reason.
Sure.
Right, in her culture, it's an L,
yes.
E-L,
yes.
Right? I want to know what Zor looks like.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
They should have thought about this.
In the first Superman movie, you do see a bunch of different symbols, which is pretty cool. That council.
Right. Like a bunch of different sigils.
Yes, I always enjoy. And it's like, for whatever reason, like, everything else looks like a bunch of nonsense, but L just got lucked out. It's a big S stands for Superman. Who would have guessed?
What are the odds? I mean, seriously, Vegas couldn't put numbers on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like someone in the 1930s wrote this on their lunch break.
It's almost that one. It'd be great if there was his symbol for L is just a giraffe. And like, he has to like be like, oh, what, you're giraffe? But no, that's my house's symbol.
Is that the whole S means L thing? Is that like retconned?
I mean, I don't know. I think.
Or is that like from Jump Street?
No. To Eric's point, the S I think was probably started off as S for Superman, and then somebody was like,
right.
When he's fighting Nazis, it just meant Superman.
Now that we're talking about the mumbo jumbo space stuff, L is a house name.
Did you know that people are collecting these things? Children are reading them and they're collecting them.
Holy shit, we have to start caring about this. Stop writing them at lunch. Remember? Take some real time.
Remember when you killed off Jimmy Olsen and brought him back in the same issue? You kind of stopped doing that, man.
People are paying attention.
Oh, did he fly around the goddamn Earth again for that one?
No. I'm just making sure.
It sounded believable. It sounded like a comic book.
You want to know another scene that could get cut? Faye Dunaway using this little gizmo gadget doodad thing to re-roast a chicken.
I did not have that.
You didn't have that?
No.
Oh, see, this is going to be so much fun now. Because I think I had the longest one with the most horseshit in it. So there's a scene where she brings the Omega Hedron thing back to the haunted funhouse. And it's her and this obnoxious sidekick of hers, which, by the way, the two of them, I was like, you know what the villain in this movie is? Fucking one half of the Golden Girls.
Yes.
And so she's like, I don't know what this thing does. And this friend of hers is like...
Bianca, by the way.
Oh, Bianca. She's like the brassy, like smoking the cigarette. She's like the Sophia of the group.
Sure.
And she's just like, well, I don't know. Why don't you bust it out and see what happens? And she just pulls a chicken out of the refrigerator. It's leftover chicken. And the thing starts to light up, and then a little orange light bulb goes off inside this chicken, and it starts cooking, and Bianca's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know, Selena. Looks like it's done. Looks like it's done. And she gets, like, all scared about this chicken getting reheated, and I'm like, deleted fucking scene.
I don't think I had that.
Oh, deleted scene so bad.
But the only way to make that work is that's happening, and then you cut back to Mia Farrow struggling to breathe, and, like, the blood vessels in her eyes are breaking. It's like, if only I had the Omega Hedron. And just like, who's for Chinese? And everyone thought, what a grand
oh, you burned it. Looks like it's takeout time.
Okay, hey, I can call the Chinese place on the Omega Hedron. This thing does everything.
Isn't it so much fun being witches and villains and roommates? This bullshit movie.
I do appreciate the cigarette smoking, because every Superman movie has got chain smoking in it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. If they didn't get Selena now, lung cancer's getting her in 10 years. Guaranteed.
Bianca's just fucking going,
oh,
man.
Bianca's dying already. She knows she's dying. Mm-hmm. She don't care. Bianca don't care.
So Supergirl has some sort of method to her madness. She's got a Fitbit on the whole movie.
I made the same note. She's totally wearing a Fitbit to try to track down this dumb thing.
And to find the Omega Hedron, it's going to send it to her. It winds up in Chicago. So
Chicago. Now,
or
here's the thing.
Suburb of.
No, but she's flying around Chicago.
Shermer, Illinois. Now, Metropolis.
Yes.
Is that Chicago? Because Gotham is New York, and the Flash has the Keystone City, which is Kansas City, right?
It's all kind of vague. It's all Springfield in its own way. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, the map of DC Comics doesn't make sense.
And what does Marvel have?
New York. New York, New York.
That feels,
sometimes San Francisco.
Yeah, that feels less fantastical.
It's true.
That's kind of boring. That's what I live in.
Yeah, you do. You see that shit all the time. You see Iceman every day.
Although, I think Batman, there was a couple issues, guys. I read a comic book once where New York does exist,
uh-huh,
and Gotham's in, like, Delaware, Jersey border.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was Death in the Family, actually.
Well, New York always exists. I mean, all
those
cities
exist.
Because
that was the one where the Joker had to go to the UN as the Iranian ambassador.
Woof, by the way.
Oh, man.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's pretty cool.
It's ridiculous, but it's very good.
Oh. Well, because they're like, oh, we're evil, so let's get this evil clown to be our delegate. It's like, that's basically what happens.
Wow, that's horseshit.
Oh, yeah.
So she lands in, like, I think she's supposed to be, like, in the city at this point at first. She touches down,
and who
are the first two people she meets on Earth but a couple of truck-driving rapists?
I think driving trucks takes a back seat to their raping business, because these guys are ready to go.
Truck drivers second.
And you know what, man? This is a fucking kids movie. This is a movie for girls. Not for girls, but, like, it's a movie to be like, oh, cool, Superman.
Including girls in the whole message of, it's okay to like comics. There's a superhero for you. It's not just a boys club.
But and sexual violence is always a danger.
It's unbelievable. These are the first fucking people she meets on Earth are rapists. And one of them is played by the great character actor Matt Frewer.
Oh, yeah.
Of that Dawn of the Dead remake, and he's in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He's in Watchmen, too.
Oh, yeah, he is in Watchmen. But so it's just like she touches down in, like, a bad part of town, and these two guys are like, oh, look at that girl over there.
Oh, we're seeking a good time. All right.
It's grotesque. Hey, Earl, guess we got ourselves a real peach. Oh, yeah, we did, Dale. And it's like, ew.
Who's ready for some fresh fruit? Nom, nom,
all
nom.
Right, first of all, we got to stop dragging the good names of Earl and Dale through the mud. All these guys have a name like that.
Yeah, it's true. There's a pattern there.
There is a pattern.
It's a lazy writing pattern, but you're right. Like,
I understand what the point of the scene is. The point of the scene is, oh, man, these boys don't know what they're in for. But, like, they should be muggers. They should be like, where's exactly. your purse? Give right. me your purse.
Not,
give me
not pulling up her skirt, trying to grab her. That's what's happening here.
It's disgusting.
And you know what? I'm in the theater. I got kids here.
Yep.
I got you kids know, here.
The wrong planet got blown up. That's what I saw.
Yeah. That shit did not fly on Krypton or on Argo. Oh, I don't know what's going on Argo. Well, that's legal in Argo.
That least. Whole city was designed by a pervert. We've already established this. Zoltar is a sex offender.
You know, it's the rule of the land, doll.
Yeah.
At least he's following the rule of the land. And hey, 1984, 83, whatever, America, not such a great place. You know.
Yeah, sure.
Now, but, this is what's great, though, is in retaliation for the almost rape.
And she doesn't even, she kind of doesn't even know what it is.
She's
which is
not a sexual being.
No.
Okay? That's not a thing.
And
right?
she's like, wait, what are you guys
because she wasn't
do?
Awakened yet by
Hart Bachner?
Yeah, we'll get to Hart in a second. But in retaliation, she's like, don't touch me. Get away from me. Don't do that. She kicks this dude in the balls.
Yep.
Look, this is a Kryptonian, Argonian person kicking you in the stones. This dude goes flying. Those two little buddies are burst.
They're done.
It's oh, guaranteed.
Jelly down there. It is good. Let's get fucking get the toast out because we got jelly down there.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't eat that.
No.
And then Matt Frewer just gets thrown through a fence.
Well, that happens, right? Here I am. Somebody's dressed like Superman. I try and rape that person because I'm a monster.
And yeah. my buddy, they know who Superman is.
Everyone yes. knows who Superman
this
is.
Guy, these guys are dumb.
she kicks him through the next county, and the other guy's like, well, I guess you got a little fight left in you, little girl. And it's like, are you kidding me? She then uses her heat vision to make him drop a knife. He's like, oh, you're going to get it, sweetheart. I'm like, dude, unless you got kryptonite somewhere in there or like a mech suit that you're about to get in.
Yes. Like, clearly this is an alien you're fighting.
A kryptonite mech suit. That's yeah, what these movies
By
need.
By the way, speaking of which, no kryptonite in this movie.
Not at all. Too busy using magic. And demons and devils.
Big problem.
Yep.
How about a kryptonite gun?
How about fucking Brainiac? Which no one could ever figure out. He's a guy that's green, you call him Brainiac, and all the nerds go, yay.
I mean, is
that's
he
what I want.
What is the problem with this? Like, is he going to be a lot of CGI? Is the technology not there yet? What does he look like?
He looks like a green person with a, like, sometimes,
like Martian Manhunter
yeah,
kind of look?
Yeah, sometimes he's got a glass skull, sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he's a robot. You could do whatever you want.
You could figure it out with practical effects.
It would be great. Now, that documentary, Death of Superman Lives, What Ooh. Happened? That was pretty good. Like,
was Brainiac supposed to be in that?
Yeah, they were talking about even Walken playing him.
What a fucking failure that whole thing is, huh?
You watch that documentary, you kind of wish that movie existed. It's not, I know it wouldn't have been good, but right. I just wish it was in the lexicon and I could
Something
watch it.
Something different, not yeah. Kevin Spacey playing Lex Luthor. Which, yeah. like, I liked him doing that, but why? Why is Jesse Eisenberg playing Lex Luthor? Why do we keep doing this?
Get Brainiac.
Poor Brainiac's just fucking sidelined.
I mean, I know, like, we've had the Scarecrow. We've had Bane twice. Can we get one Brainiac?
Yes.
You're totally right. Oh, man. All right.
But
yeah, yeah.
So we cut back to Selina, who's making her own, who's making all sorts of stuff. Supergirl decides to go. She kind of just walks by a softball game at
yes.
Midvale High.
Right.
And is like, well, that looks like fun. I guess, and again, Mia Farrow is clutching on for life.
Days to Live. And let's just get it out of the way now. We never cut back to Argo in this movie.
No.
They're all dead.
They're dead. She spends days here.
It's
weeks,
like those,
weeks. I would say weeks.
She enrolls in yeah. school.
Oh, yeah. No, she's just wasting time here.
But, and that's... My God, when you're writing this movie and making this movie and you have the clock stipulation of your whole civilization has days to live, why does this character decide to enroll in high school
with a fake
How
costume?
Is,
and
it
like,
seems like now they're just copying Superman. I sure. know, but it's like for some reason she thinks she needs to take on a persona
yeah,
to roam Earth. Maybe you can just take off your crazy costume, which I don't know how even materialized on you.
Get some jeans and let's call it a day.
Exactly.
Some Guess jeans, mm-hmm. a sharp t-shirt that you can tuck in because it's 1984.
Oh, yeah.
And do it to it.
And buy a pack of Cools just to fit in. Or actually Virginia Slims. I forgot it's Supergirl.
That's right. You can't do both. You could do one. You could say, oh, maybe she comes to Earth for a fucking fact-finding mission. Then she could do whatever. But if you have this thing where Mia Farrow's life is in the balance, you can't just dick around at high school.
I think she's dead before she even enrolls in
school. Think it's more of like, well, my mom's dead. Might as well get some Earth learning out of this deal.
Exactly.
My favorite portion of this whole sequence is when she goes to like the principal's office.
Oh yeah,
and she's like, "I'm new here,"
right?
Because now she's through her superpowers. She just now has a school uniform, and she has dark hair to not be noticed.
Yep,
I don't know what that's about.
Sure,
like Clark doesn't do that.
Yeah, Clark doesn't. He's not turning into a blonde guy.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
It's just the little curl in his hair is different, and there's glasses.
Yes,
I'm not putting a wig on,
but she walks into this dude's office, not thinking ahead. She doesn't even have a fake name yet.
No, yet.
She glances at a picture on the wall. I'm Robert E. Lee. Oh, excuse me. I'm General Robert E. Lee.
What is this principal's deal in Illinois where he's got a big poster of Robert E. Lee on the wall?
Why is that on this school administrator's wall?
This guy loves fucking flying the stars and Mars.
So whatever, she becomes what? Lisa Lee? What does she call
her? Linda Lee.
Linda Lee.
Yes.
And so then she...
Really hillbilly name, by the way. She's like, oh, you know, and the guy's like, look, I know everybody in this school, blah, blah, blah. I have to leave my office for 1 second. And then she goes and writes a little letter from... She forges documents. Way to go, Supergirl. First of all, at points, she's like, what's a tree? But she knows how to fake her way into like...
Thank you. And here's a big problem with the construction of this movie.
Yeah.
Well, because Superman knows how to behave like a human being at the Daily Planet. Because as Clark Kent, he grew up living as a human since he was a baby.
All that time.
She comes in as an 18-year-old, 16-year-old girl, and all she knows is living in Argo.
Yes.
But she knows things like there's an electric typewriter and this is what a letter of recommendation is. And this is playing softball. And not only that,
she forges Superman. Yeah. She forges Clark Kent's like whole signature.
Which, not for nothing, what does a letter of recommendation from some city news reporter have to do to get you into a private school?
It doesn't have to do with anything. And I was thinking this whole time, like, did she forge a check, too?
Yeah. Who's paying the tuition?
You're not getting room and board with just a letter from some, you know, lower level reporter of Metropolis.
It's a Daily Planet writer, eh? Well, you're not admitted to this school.
Oh, that newspaper that only reports about Superman. Come right in.
Well, I'm David Brooks's cousin. Okay. And go on.
New York Times conservative columnist, yes. David Brooks. For those new listeners, we talk about him every episode.
Drinking game. Pound him, gentlemen.
Yeah.
So, coincidentally at this school, somebody else's cousin. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Lois Lane's little sister.
Lucy Lane,
who's, a character from the comics. It's a real deal.
Really?
But I don't know if she hangs around Supergirl, but it's like a...
This is the point of my notes where I just wrote no.
This is the actress Maureen Teefy. She was Doris in the Fame movie, if anybody remembers.
And, you know, she kind of has... Truth to casting, she's got Margot Kidder's cigarette teeth, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's another instance of there's no way that this like adult is a high school student, you know, but she kind of looks like a little girl, so whatever, we'll cast her in this movie. And, you know, she is kind of just doing a Margot Kidder impression of her Lois Lane performance kind of a thing.
Which is a great performance.
It is, but this is annoying.
It's like the Mad TV version of it. And this is when we get the closest thing to a cameo in this movie.
Man,
which is a publicity still from Superman, God knows what, blown up, and Lucy has it on the wall, and she's like, That's my hero. That's Superman. Hey, you know that guy that kind of walks around like God? That's that guy. And like, apparently, they also explain away Superman. Like,
oh, it's one of my favorite bits. No, it's when it's back at that picnic scene when they're sitting outside the car and the Omega Hedron comes or whatever, and Faye Dunaway's got the radio on, and it's just like, by the way, news reports say that Superman is off to some sort of intergalactic conference millions of light years away. And you're just like, oh, all right, so Superman's definitely not in this movie.
Oh, the Brainiac movie's happening. We can't see it.
Yeah, he's going into some sort of war negotiation with Brainiac in another universe. Yeah. You don't see that. You get to see Supergirl hanging around in a dorm room massaging a picture of Christopher Reeve.
Which is because Christopher Reeve wanted nothing to do with this movie. I think he was like kind of tentatively signed on for it, and then he got the script and said, nope. Like, oh, Warlocks?
Well,
because
he was such a good guy. Yes. And it's just like, yeah, of course I'll do... Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, witches and invisible monsters, huh? Yeah, I'm busy. I have my own billion light years away mission to get to.
Christopher Reeve has a better chance of showing up in this new Supergirl TV show than he did in this movie, I'll tell you that much.
You ain't wrong. And, you know, I'll tell you the other thing, too. This is 1984.
Yeah.
This is before Crispin Glover sued for using his likeness in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
So guess what? Guaranteed he didn't see a dime for that fucking poster appearance.
No, they're like, we gave you your career. You're welcome. Ingrate.
Is that the Salkins?
I imagine.
Yeah, I think so.
So they become fast friends because they're like, hey, we're kind of related to people that we know each other. And because she's also passing herself off as not only is she Superman's real cousin,
she's
for
Clark
some
Kent's
reason, cousin. Has to be Clark Kent's cousin as well.
Right, but what are the odds that she goes into a random like boarding school and then is given a room assignment with Lois Lane's sister. Yeah, like,
I mean, what are the? It's one in a galaxy, Aaron.
It's cosmic.
Yeah, or it might be witchcraft. I don't know.
Peter O'Toole's watching from the Phantom Zone. Twisted.
Yeah, he's passing a glass of water with Aleister Crowley. since now dark magic is canon.
Yes.
Alan Moore's there.
Oh, absolutely.
Cast that spell.
Yeah, the demon from those Sinister movies. Insidious. Yeah, sorry, pardon me.
Darth Maul himself.
All the goblins are there. Zod, eventually.
It's a real goblin conference in the Phantom Zone.
Zod would already be there, right?
Well, that's the other thing. Other people are like, oh, cool, it's a new Kryptonian. That's pretty awesome. The last time a Kryptonian showed up on Earth, the president relinquished his power on national television. All right? You know what?
Yeah, I
think I'd be a little wary of new Kryptonians.
But I was also just thinking, like, Zoltar's in the Phantom Zone. Isn't Zod in the Phantom Zone?
No, he gets murdered at the end of the
movie.
Yeah.
Wait, is any of those guys in there?
I think he kind of murders them all.
He murders them all?
Yeah. Like
shit, I need to rewatch too.
I thought, didn't they go to them banging on the glass? Isn't that?
That's the end of the first one. That's the first. In the first one, they break out. At the end, he tricks them in the Fortress of Solitude and like body slams them into nothing.
Oh, right. They kind of fall off that cliff.
And you don't know. I mean, like maybe there's a big jail down there, but I think they're all dead.
No, they're just dead. It's the pit at the bottom of Mortal Kombat.
I was just hoping that
Zero's down there dead.
I was just hoping that there was another Kryptonian in that Phantom Zone that could be like, hey, freshman.
Well, he does talk, we'll get to it. He talks about like murder. Oh, my next door neighbors, the murderers. But so whatever. I mean, she becomes fast friends. Another piece of, and like at this point, to give Selena anything to do.
Anything.
Aside from, like, staring at this rock that she puts inside of a dragon.
And cooking up chicken with a battery.
She falls in love with Hart Bachner, who's the gardener at this school. Also, Peter Cook works at the school.
Cook is a math teacher. Math teacher by day, warlock by night.
Which I appreciate.
That's living, man. Hey, you know what? That's living.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's multiple equations.
Dealing with numbers during the day, dealing with spells at night.
Which I call dark numbers. Or also known as odd or prime numbers.
Yes.
A prime number is a pretty dark number, man.
Oh, yeah.
Can only be divided by one in itself.
That's creepy.
Terrifying shit.
So she falls in love and she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to use my new toy to get myself this hunk of man meat. And you know what? I'm okay, fine. Like, it's, you know, you're objectifying a man. Again, it's a movie for women, or kind of sort of for women.
Objectify so, like, the fuck out of him. I don't care. Exactly. Show me those buns.
I
whatever.
Want a blood sacrifice.
Yes.
I mean, eventually, use those buns for a blood sacrifice. First, objectify them, though.
You're putting witches in this movie. I better see Hart Bochner with his shirt off with some dagger cutting through his nipple.
Yes.
Causing, like, some type of ghoulish monster. I don't know.
Yeah, you're totally right. And by the way, Hart Bochner passed for life for directing PCU.
Oh, he directed that? Oh, wow.
Yeah. He also plays the cokehead in Die Hard 1.
I knew that.
He plays Ennis or Ellis, whatever his name is.
Now he's a national hero to me.
He does a voice in Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, really?
Does he reprise this role?
No, he does not. He's the hunky guy in Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Hey, Batman, I'm your gardener, Hart Bochner. Or Ethan in this movie.
Yes.
Almost had sex with your cousin.
Or your buddy's cousin. Who?
Batman's like, you got into that, huh?
I know some like low-level mafia guy that like the Joker winds up killing. It's kind of a chilling scene. The guy like who dies laughing on the bed there.
Oh,
that's Hart Bochner.
Oh, yeah. Is it really? Yeah. That's Batman: Mask of the Phantasm is a fantastic DC movie.
A++. So she falls. She's like, oh, I'm gonna use a magic spell on him, and I'm gonna. She like brings him over to her house to do some gardening.
Yeah,
and I feel like this guy's gotten drugged before a couple of times.
Yeah,
he's like naive.
He fights it pretty hard too. Like he's been down this road before.
What I appreciate is she offers him a big can of Schlitz.
Yeah,
you saw that Schlitz malt liquor. Oh. I guess Schlitz had malt liquor back then, not just regular beer.
What a time to be alive. And so she's like, before you do this gardening at my haunted amusement park.
By the way, anyone invites me to do anything at a haunted amusement park, I see that, I'm turning around.
Or at least get the money up front.
Yeah.
One or the other.
It's pre-cell phones, man. You can't take that chance.
Yeah, you're
you
totally
right.
You
can't step foot on a haunted amusement park.
No.
With some creepy lady.
And she's like, before you weed my garden or whatever's going on, or trim my hedges, let's have a beer. Let's celebrate your presence with a beer. And he's like, well, hey, a beer. Which is great, because he's just a dumb dude, so he's going to take a beer from a pretty lady. And she's drugged it with magic. We see her making some sort of dumb snail's tail spell or some shit. Who could possibly care? And he's, like, drugged and kind of falls into the haunted house part of this amusement park.
Yes.
And it's weird. It's kind of like the scene in Ghostbusters 2 when Ernie Hudson's in the subway. There's, like, decapitated heads all over the place.
It's funny because, like, the spell is like, and when he wakes up, the first person he sees, he's going to fall in love with.
That's, oh,
and they spell that out so clearly.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some logistical bullshit with
all of this.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, just a little bit.
Just because he looks at Nigel.
No, well, that's the thing. So he escapes. He's like, what happened? And he runs out of there, and he's like drunk walking down the street in Midvale, and he's looking at dudes left and right.
Yes, there's like people honking at him like, hey, get out of the street, moron.
Yeah, it's dude after dude after dude.
Here's the thing. It's 1984, and that didn't happen yet. According to Emperor Reagan statistics, that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It makes him, I mean, it drugs him, but it doesn't make him crazy.
I mean, it's magic, but he's not crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because he sees a million dudes, and I think women too, but like,
yeah.
At this point, coinciding with him walking into town, just trying to get away from this crazy old witch, Lucy Lane,
yes,
is hanging out with Linda Lee and the world's creepiest interloper, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, he's taking a page out of Zoltar's book here.
Oh, yeah.
Because so it's like a holiday weekend. Like, yeah. Supergirl enrolls in private school right before a 3-day weekend.
Great timing.
Oh, sure. And
Columbus Day.
She's just like, Lucy's like, hey, you know, I live in Midvale. It's only 5 miles from the campus. We're going to get together with a bunch of friends, including a good friend of mine that I think you might know. His name's Jimmy Olsen. And I'm like, wait a minute. These girls are in high school.
Yeah.
Jimmy Olsen's played by the dude who plays Dave McFly. That
Mark
guy's
McClure.
Not in high school. What?
Mark McClure.
Mark McClure. that guy's definitely not in high school. Oh, but he's coming to this rando town to hang out.
Yeah, oh, he'll drive cross counties.
You know what, though? Don't cross state lines, Jimmy Olsen. Then the rub gets even deeper.
Jimmy Olsen's working a full-time job at the Daily Planet. He looks like he's at least in his mid-30s.
He's an employed adult.
He's an employed adult. He's got a Perry White's not hiring anyone without a bachelor's degree. I doubt it.
Oh, absolutely. And you need a thick portfolio, too, for Perry White to hire you.
And he's just like talking up Lois Lane's little sister. I don't think Lois knows what's going on.
No.
She's too brassy.
How is it? Like, how could you face Lois? You know what I mean? Like, Monday through Friday and be like, putting your hat on Friday afternoon and being
like, you give it to this old golly shucks routine.
Yeah. Oh, golly shucks. Sorry, Superman and Lois. I can't go out for a drink tonight. I've got a sick mother. And then he drives out there.
Yeah.
Picks up a six-pack of wine coolers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Condoms?
Maybe.
Jimmy Olsen
it's stars 1984.
Jimmy Olsen.
You're right.
Jimmy Olsen stars in Hard Candy. And I mean, like, it's weird. It's incredibly weird. I mean, like, I understand the impulse again, like, everyone can't be somebody's cousin. You know what I mean? You got to have some continuity. Like, well, Jimmy Olsen, I guess he's dating Lucy.
No, I understand how this world is related to the world of Superman.
Yes.
I don't need Jimmy Olsen starring in statutory rape-a-rama to make that connection of the two worlds.
It would be better if it wasn't Lois's little sister, it was just some other random girl that he's targeted.
Jimmy Olsen, don't you live in Metropolis? Yeah, I've got an aunt in Midvale, though. Oh, according to these toll booth records, Mr. Olsen, you were seen driving to Midvale in the middle of the night 6 consecutive weeks in a row.
Because, you know, honestly, this target of his, I'm going to say target, that's what this
you're
is.
You're definitely allowed to do that.
It's too close to Superman, and you know what Superman can do. What are you doing?
Dude, if Clark/Superman finds out what's going on, you're going to get turned into a pretzel. Or left in the Phantom Zone or anything.
This dude is a shutterbug. What if, you know, with that X-ray vision of Superman, he could probably see what's on unexposed negatives.
And if he doesn't kill you, he will end your life in Metropolis. Like, you're finished in this town.
Superman's pal, Jeffrey Jones. Nobody needs that shit.
And that's exactly what's happening. Jimmy Olsen is heading straight for his own troubles.
And he's a shutterbug, too.
Yeah. And you know what? Superman gets upset. He'll probably snap his neck. For he can't let it come out that this guy was his associate, you know?
Oh,
it's gonna ruin that whole all-American innocence angle.
Remember that terrifying scene at the end of Superman 1 when he gets pissed that Lois Lane dies and he lets out that terrifying shriek?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like the xenomorph and Alien when they're just yelling at people.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen to Jimmy Olsen.
He's
It's like, you what? It's like that.
I've seen what this guy would do to someone that just sits in his chair at a diner.
You're totally right.
Right? I mean, what is he going to do when he finds out that the love of his life, the love of everything, her little sister's being, I don't even want to know, by this guy.
Preyed upon by this coworker of his that he doesn't really like all that much.
No,
it's an easy decision for Superman to make.
Oh, yeah.
Easy decision.
Punt this guy out in outer space.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's going to kick him in the balls like Supergirl did to Matt Frewer.
So hard, he'll fly into outer space and then into inner space.
And then Peter O'Toole finds him and he's like, oh, hello, comrade.
Welcome to Pervert Commune.
We're inside Dennis Quaid.
Monday morning comes around. Jimmy Olsen's like making some bad, like, you know, Chinese food in the microwave. And Clark Kent comes over and he's like, never saw garbage eat garbage before. It's like, uh-oh, no. That means it's about to go down.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's when Jimmy Olsen just throws himself out a window.
I mean,
All right, speaking of, like, this extended version that I think I watched the longest of.
Sure.
I watched the Lawrence of Arabia cut of this movie. Did you guys have all the scenes of Supergirl getting bullied by this other girl at school?
Yes.
Including like the locker room shenanigans.
Yes. Yeah.
Where she's like trying to prank them by like turning the, like, it's amazing because she's like, I'm going to turn this water boiling hot. And like the sidekick is like, I don't know, Bertha. If you do that, they might get scalded. Yeah. Why don't you just make it cool? And then Supergirl like hears all this and like melts a bunch of pipes or something, and they get all sprayed with hot water.
It's creepy. Well, she says like, if they burn, they burn. It's
oh
like,
yeah,
whoa, Bertha, relax. And yeah,
it seemed pretty insignificant to the movie, so I wanted to see if you guys had it. It means nothing and comes to nothing. This bully's never talked about again.
So Hart Bachner whirls into town.
Yes.
Jimmy Olsen's really trying to get to third base with a 14-year-old girl.
They're meeting up at the town's hotspot, which, did you catch it? It's a Popeye's chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
We're hanging out at a Popeye's chicken. That's where all the kids in Midvale go when they're not at school, is a Popeye's chicken.
And that's like, Jimmy Olsen, I don't want to have an adult see me.
Yes.
I'm going to go to the fast food restaurant with these. Also,
kids love fast food.
Cheap date.
Yeah.
Cheap
date. Oh, yeah. Cheap he is date. Just a lowly photographer at a newspaper.
And Hart Bachner's walking around confused, and Jimmy Olsen's like, no, don't worry about that, girls. Let's go inside.
He totally is like, let's go back inside and eat. Food's getting cold. Meanwhile, this poor man is like clueless. He's in a fucking fugue state of his own, wandering the street. No one in this town of Midvale is helping him. Everyone is driving by honking the horn.
I thought the Midwest was supposed to be nice. I thought people were nice to each other.
I think Brian Dennehy and David Caruso are about to load up a car and run this hobo out of town.
I think so.
This hobo vet. Enough's enough.
Comes back here, gets spit on, run out of town.
Nonsense happens where Celine makes a fucking bulldozer come to life.
Oh, man.
It's like this, a backhoe or something.
Yeah,
this runaway backhoe. Who could care?
This sequence takes forever.
It's long as shit.
Supergirl basically winds up saving him, and the first person he sees, even though it's the 90th person he sees, is her. And he's like, I'm in love with you. And he starts talking all flowery and whatever else nonsense.
Yeah, I thought this was a love spell, not a love/poetry spell, okay? Stupid movie.
And again, I think it's trying to appeal to teenage girls, like that idea of like, oh my God, he's such a sweet guy. And like, you know, which is fine again, but let's pick a movie and make it.
Yeah.
How about that? Later on, Celine sends an invisible monster out to kill Supergirl. That's kind of fun.
So this is like Supergirl goes back to the dorm because like Lucy Lane's going off with Jimmy Olsen.
They're going to a party. There's a party going on. You know who's going to buy everyone beer?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, exactly. And you know what? He's excited to be, for once in his life, the hero of the party. See, Jimmy Olsen just had to wait till he was out of high school for 15 years. Then he can go to high school parties and be the king of the party.
Right, because he was the nerd. You know, this guy got some swirlies and stuff.
Oh, sure, but nowadays, dude, he's paying for that Popeye's chicken, buying beer at the convenience store.
You know what
store?
He's doing, though? He's doing the thing. He's like, all right, guys, cool. I'll get you guys 230 racks. $10 from all of you. It's like 10 people. He pockets a little for himself.
Oh, well, you know what?
Making the trip worthwhile.
Listen, here's the thing.
Gas
if
money.
Anyone has purchased beer for underage kids, you got to take a fee.
Is that how that works?
You're putting your life on the line, man. You got to take a fee.
Fair enough.
A little bit for you, a little bit for me.
Exactly. I got something for myself.
Oh, I'll do it, but I need a taste.
Yeah.
I need a taste of that cut.
But so see, that's why, though, I don't think Jimmy Olsen's ripping anybody off, because his taste, his reward, is
man.
The love of Lucy Lane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all.
So how many kids have you bought beer for?
No, Andrew, sit down. Sit down. Have a seat.
No, I will say
have,
that...
Have some lemonade.
In having several older people buy beer for me,
yes.
That's the system that was always in place, and that was always fair.
Yeah, you always
you're putting your life
on
the line. No, I've had people approach me about it twice in my life, and both times I've laughed in their face and not done anything
not gonna,
about
but
it.
What am I going to do?
No, who are you? I'm not putting my life on the line for you.
Nobody approaches me.
they know
the
deal.
They could spot a square.
So this invisible monster comes to attack Supergirl
at the
dorm.
At the dormitory.
And it's almost a good fight scene, but not really.
Is it?
No.
Here's the thing. When you don't want to show a monster because you blew $1 million on a credit sequence, you make it an invisible monster. Horse shit alert, everybody.
Yes.
It's one of the things where, like, there's trees falling down and a fence got stepped on. And Supergirl's looking out the window like, shouldn't there be a monster about here? And what she does, again, this alien has no knowledge of how the planet Earth works. She grabs a lamppost, flies up into a thunderstorm, has lightning strike it a bunch of times so it builds up lightning inside it,
sure,
or something, flies back down and jabs this thing with it.
You know what I would have appreciated, and it doesn't happen in this movie? Throw some punches. You know,
yeah,
you're a Kryptonian. You can knock that thing's block off.
Totally. Let's... You kicked that dude in the balls and he went flying. Mm-hmm. Kick that monster in the balls.
I think his grandma had a heart attack when that happened. It hurt so bad.
But she just kind of jabs at this thing and it's like, never mind. And just like runs away. And she's like, ha, another job done for Supergirl. It sucks.
She's not very good, right, Helen Slater?
She's okay.
She's fine. I mean,
she was better as Becky Gelke on Seinfeld.
I think that it doesn't. She doesn't have, and it's the screenplay's fault. Like, those first two Superman movies are really well written, and like you get Christopher Reeve doing both angles. Like, it's like I'm, you know, my body looks this way when I'm Clark Kent. My body right. looks that way when I'm whatever.
And he does a good job with the physicality of like he walks different yep. when he's Clark Kent. That whole thing.
She's just kind of now my hair is brown.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, neither of them's more confident or anything. It's just sort of like.
Well, to be fair, also, I mean, she's just working, you know, with this director who's not
exactly.
helping her out at all.
Sure, there's no direction.
Do you think, by the way, speaking of Becky Gelke, do you think Jerry Seinfeld was like, wait a minute, like he was in the casting room one day and he was like, I think that's the woman that played Supergirl. Larry David, cast that woman immediately.
Guaranteed.
So, yeah, it took me a second to place out of the Desians Jerry Seinfeld's character has slept with.
Yes.
Okay, no, she was in the last episode?
No. That's an episode where they deal with something called the Good Samaritan Law. The episode in question is called the Good Samaritan. It's where Jerry sees somebody bump into a car and drive off, and he makes up a story about how he followed the person or something.
Yeah, it's an early episode.
Yeah, and like confronts he tells this big story or whatever, and then it's proven to be false. But I believe, if I'm remembering right, Becky Gelke is the character whose car was bumped into, and Jerry feeds her the line of bullshit. Or is it he falls in love with the person and it's her? I don't remember. Either way, Helen Slater was in this episode called The Good Samaritan. Also, she was the woman in City Slickers who Daniel Stern's trying to get with the whole time. Good luck, Daniel Stern. Good luck, real life Daniel Stern. This is Becky Gelke we're talking about here.
Helen Goddard. This is Supergirl. Yeah. For Christ's sakes.
I mean, just the Reverend in Chud.
I mean, a lot of stuff happens that I don't think we need to get into.
No, not at all.
Basically, she gets Supergirl confronts Selina, and for some reason, Selina knows what the Phantom Zone is.
Sure. Hey, sure.
And sucks her into the
and
Phantom
Zone. And sucks her into the Phantom Zone using the glass shield thing.
Yes.
She gets wrapped up in that, just like Terrence Stamp and the gang. And
she gets sucked away into the Phantom Zone. She wakes up on like a hell planet, because we've never actually seen, which is fun. We've never seen the inside of the Phantom Zone.
This is something I gave to this movie. I was like, oh, cool. You don't see the Phantom Zone in any of the other movies. That's pretty badass. And it's like a wasteland and whatnot. I didn't catch Peter O'Toole's line about bad neighbors.
Well, basically she's like walking through Endor and falls into a swamp lake or whatever and gets up to her face and is about to die, and somebody pulls her out because she doesn't have superpowers because there's no yellow sun.
Right.
Sorry, everybody. And she gets pulled out by Peter O'Toole, and he's got this weird habit on this planet where he's like,
sure. You won't have a squirt? Once you get used to it, I think it's delicious.
Squirt?
Oh,
squirt?
Oh, you want my a God. Squirt?
Hey, Eric, how about a squirt?
Oh, put it in my mouth.
Squirt! Steve, would you like a squirt?
He just is squirt he's like the first couple times. He's kind of crazy now.
Addicted to, like,
it's like some Phantom
juice?
Zone hooch, man. I don't know what's going on.
It's moonshine brewed locally in the Phantom Zone.
I think he's just drinking his own urine.
He made it. Yeah, he made it in the prison toilet. That's for sure.
Hey, Supergirl, would you like a squirt?
It's disgusting.
So
that's what
he squirts in her mouth.
Yes, that's that she is what
like
happens.
It.
She's. It's like tasting alcohol.
Oh, you'll acquire a taste for it soon enough.
Yeah, it tastes like garbage until it's delicious.
For some reason, he's on such hard times. He's been out there for I think the idea is like, you know, it takes, you know,
time moves differently.
Yes. But he still only has a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, it's. Only I was hoping for a big old Noah beard.
Yeah, me too, actually. He somehow looks like in every Doctor Doom origin story when he first gets fucked over by whichever translation you're reading. Mm-hmm. And he's just like ragged and he's got a cloak on. Yeah. Like, that's what Peter O'Toole looks like. But you're right. It's only a 5 o'clock shadow. He needs a Noah beard. He needs to look haggard as hell. But it's Peter O'Toole and he doesn't give a shit about being in Supergirl. So he's like, you know what? I just won't shave for a day or two. That's the most you're getting out of me. This Supergirl movie.
Super what?
Super stupid. I can make bad jokes and they'll be better than the dialogue in your screenplay.
And he's just like, he's talking about, oh, it's a life of hell here, Supergirl.
Squirt. But,
by the way, thanks for ruining my life. I was pretty...
Squirt.
I was doing pretty okay in Argo. I had my bags packed for quite a vacation. You made that fucking butterfly that destroyed everything. By the way, everyone's dead.
Yeah, it's been an eternity for me, but it's definitely been at least 7 days for you. You had two to save the Argo city.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, our civilization is now officially down to two.
Squirt. Me and you.
Squirt, squirt, I'm going to be dead in 5 minutes anyway, and you'll be the last Kryptonian.
And he
Unless
does.
Your cousin comes back from that international conference or whatever.
There was a guy when I worked at a gym in college that would drink this big, it was in a Poland Spring bottle.
Squirt?
Uh-huh. Squirt, and it was a big thing of yellow liquid that looked like urine, and he was kind of crazy. And he
yeah.
It's and probably
was,
urine.
I thought it was, no one could check. You can't be like, hey man, can I smell whatever is in that bottle?
Excuse me, sir, I'm going to need to smell your bottle.
Did he have a ponytail?
He did, and he had a long, crazy beard, yeah.
Because I grew up in like a hippie area, you know, right?
Sure,
like,
sure.
People might know this, but you know, I grew up in near Woodstock, New York, and I did know a guy growing up who had a ponytail, who adamantly drank his own urine.
What was he like telling squirt? People in the town square? Squirt, squirt?
He, people, you know, there's... squirt? It's like new agey, like, oh, this is the new health craze. Like, don't you guys know
guess
that?
I missed that don't you, one.
But it's waste. It's just waste.
Was
well,
he just a...
You, but here's the thing, is you can still use it one more round or two more rounds, think. Before
was he,
it's totally waste.
Was
squirt?
He
squirt?
Squirt, squirt. Was he the world's biggest Waterworld fan? The Maybe. Opening moments of that movie is Kevin Costner Here's, drinking urine.
I didn't spend too much time with him. He was a friend
too
of a,
much time.
He was a friend of a friend. I think it might have been a Jimmy Olsen type of
situation. Oh, I see.
Squirt.
So it turns out that there's actually a way to just walk out of the Phantom
and he's
Zone.
He's never fucking got the gumption to do it.
Exactly. And all it is like a slit in the fabric of whatever the squirt you're talking about. And he's like, I can take you there. We have to make it or something. Is that right, director? Something. It's or something. Fantastic. Let's go on a journey. And a journey fit for Tolkien with your Supergirl script.
You know, I think I'd like to play Squirtle at one point. Could do the voice. Squirtle? Squirtle, Squirtle.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Squirt.
So it's
that was,
like...
That was the dragon, right?
Yeah. No. That's a Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
That's a Pokemon?
Sure. Yeah, Squirtle.
Why was I also thinking of a dragon with a similar sounding name? Well, what Smaug. Are we thinking of?
Smaug.
Oh, yeah, maybe I was thinking of Smaug. Anyway.
Squirt. Squirt the dragon.
My precious Squirt.
See, this show makes no sense.
This movie makes no sense.
So, yeah, it's just like, oh, it's a life of pain here. If you don't want to go through that gate over there, which I don't, it's hello, Supergirl, my life is pain.
There's been a sign on the gate for eternity that says, back in five. No one's ever flipped it around, Supergirl, so I've just been sitting here.
it's a mountain that you go up, and there's
a blood tornado behind you. Like, I don't know what's
going on. It's a little
on.
Dark Knight Rises. It's been Rasa. You know, you got to climb the mountain, and he's never had the gumption to do it.
You're totally right. Oh, man. Well, they do it. Peter O'Toole falls off and dies, and she gets out.
Well, because Selena could see them. She's watching it on fucking bullshit cable or something.
Yeah, she's
magic cable.
She's got a magic mirror because she's an evil witch. Because this movie's stupid.
Well, what also is happening when she goes away? Right, Supergirl gets sent to the Phantom Zone. Superman is galaxies away because he heard they were making a Supergirl movie. So he's like, get me the fuck off the planet.
Now let me pause you right there for a second. So we are told that it's like billions of miles away. Blibbity blah.
Sure, sure.
So he's like a long ways away from our sun.
Yes.
How is he staying powered up to get back to Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Superman.
Wait, that's a good question.
There's other suns. They're called stars.
So he just, it's not.
Is it any star?
No, it's Steve. Yellow. Need a yellow sun.
Well, all right.
Well,
so maybe I guess
there's other
yellow suns.
Yeah, you don't think there's other yellow suns out there?
I don't know.
You think you're special?
I ain't seen it.
I mean, they never.
Squirt.
Precisely. But while this is happening, Selena crowns herself Queen of the Earth.
Dude, she's got a hit squad out of nowhere.
There's secret police in this movie for no reason.
It's Gestapo. Apparently the president is dead.
Yep. Like he probably renounced again power. Yet again.
Oh, no.
Sorry, everybody.
Well, first it was this space monster. Now it's just this evil witch. But all the same, I'm renouncing the presidency.
Does the Superman movies take place in France? I'm going to dust off the oldies from now on.
I'm wondering.
From 2003.
Did that guy run for re-election after the Kryptonian invasion?
I don't think you can come back from that politically. No, that's really career can't. Suicide.
Yeah. Like,
you let aliens bully you out of office.
Yeah, bending over for parent stamp on national television.
Yeah.
You can't come back and have a war on drugs. Like, I apologize.
Let me tell you, Pullman, President Pullman from Independence.
Oh, yeah.
He got at least two more terms. They changed the rules.
Yes, exactly.
Because it was an alien invasion by scary monsters.
Oh, wow.
This was Terrence Stamp being very polite about taking over the world. Yes. And you're right, Steve. This dude just bent over.
I mean, but yeah, so like the whole world is over with. She still stays in, again, she stays in Midvale. She doesn't go to L.A. She doesn't go to New York.
Midvale, the new capital of the world, baby. Midvale, Illinois.
She doesn't go to Hong Kong. She actually makes a mountain in Midvale. And everyone's like, hey, where'd that mountain come from?
Jimmy Olsen, again, they come out of this Popeye's chicken again. And you're like,
what is this guy doing?
No, I was like, are we to believe?
Go to work. I don't care if Superman's off planet. Go to work.
Dude, first of all, it's a holiday weekend. Second of all, I was like, is this the same? It's Columbus Day. Useless holiday in America. No, is it the same day or is he eating at that Popeye's chicken again?
Well, we might as well just go back.
Yeah, I got this whole book of coupons.
Oh, God. This guy's a creep.
And let me say, Popeye's is better than KFC, but there's no reason
to eat there. But it's still garbage. You're still eating garbage.
It's Midvale, dude. What else is there? Is there a Red Lobster? Because I'm not eating there.
Hey, are you Olsen? I got a collect call from out of space. Oh, yeah, sure. Never heard. Never saw a garbage eat garbage before.
God damn you, Superman.
My favorite line in all those movies.
Garbage eat garbage. That's great.
So Supergirl, like Selena, while she's watching him from, by the way, Hart Bachner becomes her love slave and all this shit.
Sure, why not? He's got a fancy velvet tuxedo on. Who cares? Right, it's fucking Supergirl. Let's do it.
A lot of yes, darling.
Mm-hmm. Mistress or whatever the fuck.
And this obnoxious, what's her name? Blanche?
Bianca.
Bianca, this idiot number two.
Blanche.
Dude, I said they're the Golden Girls.
I know.
So I named another
one.
You don't think Bianca's a Blanche, though?
Is that what you're saying?
You know what? I want to.
I think
I'm saying she's not. She's not. Yeah. She's not getting out there more and mingling.
I think Celine is more the Blanche, and Bianca might be the Betty White.
Oh,
she's
kind of
stupid.
Yeah, and she kind of just yells dumb opinions. Ma.
Oh, that wasn't Betty White.
That's Dorothy.
All right.
Yeah. That was a good.
That was the youngest one that. Was the oldest one, right?
Yeah, that was a no. B. Arthur.
B. Arthur yells Ma. Right.
Yeah,
But the I was thinking of Mom.
Oh, Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty,
Estelle
yeah.
Getty, yeah.
Rest in peace, almost all of them. Except for Betty White. She's got a game show or some
shit.
Do
you think they were from Krypton?
What, they the are Golden Girls?
Golden. Maybe the Earth's yellow sun kept them alive in Florida or wherever for that long.
I think they explored that in Golden Palace, but nobody got into it.
Andrew, Golden Palace?
Golden Palace, it's a terrible spinoff that I got yelled at on the subway one time for trashing in public.
You've had to have told that story, right?
Yeah, I maybe did. We were on the A train and some dude was like, it's a cultural thing. You're too young to appreciate it. I was like, no, I've seen like five episodes of it. It's terrible. And the Golden Girls is great. And you're an idiot. And it was like three stops before I thought to say any of that to that guy. He was long gone.
So Celine's watching, and she's watching. She knows Supergirl's the only person that could destroy her queendom at this point.
Oh, sure.
So she's like throwing all sorts of fireballs at him and like nonsense. And Peter O'Toole's like, oh, really? One more indignity, eh?
Fireball to the face. Squirt, squirt, squirt.
Once more into the breach.
Squirt, squirt. And yeah, he falls to his death. She Ixman Raza's out of the cave.
And this is, she like gets to the light and she like puts her hands on her hips. It's kind of like very Peter Pan-esque yeah. here. And this is the closest this theme song comes to the John Williams
score. Yeah, it gets really close.
I was like, wow, you're like a mustache hair away from fucking this up. Oh.
Can't sue myself. I'm Ilya Salkin. I own them both.
So she like flies back through Selena's window like immediately.
And everyone's in cages at this point. Jimmy Olsen and Lucy Lane and Nigel, who's kind of like, I guess, a redemptive villain or something.
Right. Well, he gets the shaft because he's got this like little wand thing.
Of dark magic.
Yeah.
On top of the other thing that she had, which was... whatever.
Right. Well, she combines both of them. She fucks him over. Yeah, she's like, teach me how to use this thing. And then she's like, yoink.
Yeah. Yes.
And steals this thing. So all three of them are in cages. And Nigel has the foresight to be like, hanging in cages from the ceiling, Selena. Real original. And he's just like, yeah, fuck you, movie I'm in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Peter Cook says, fuck you, stupid movie. In a cage. Now, this is where some of the dumbest shit happens in this movie, because she's like trying to get them down and whatnot, and Selena starts making the floor shake, and it's like hot lava, and I'm like, just fly, Supergirl,
yep.
Just elevate above it. Instead, she's like falling over, like whoa,
shaky floor. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Just lift off the ground. We saw you do it for 5 minutes with those horses at the beginning,
or bathe in the lava and be like, I'm from Krypton, you asshole. I drink this shit.
Glug, 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 motherfucker.
Squirt, squirt, squirt.
How is it that a witch can one-up a Kryptonian?
Doesn't make any sense.
It's so stupid.
So, yeah, a bunch of nonsense happens, and then Selena contacts the devil to fight Supergirl.
What are we doing? I mean, this is a level 12 stupid shit alert.
Now, do they actually say the devil?
Or no.
Do they say, like, shadow?
Yeah, I summon shadow or shadow beast.
The shadow beast.
It's a hell beast.
Yes.
Oh, it's just a big demon-looking
right.
thing. It's so gigantic.
So we're putting up the supermen and ladies against the bowels of hell.
Pretty much.
Cerebus, practically.
It's great to know that both those things exist in this universe, that sure. We have the hell.
Magic and Christian hell both exist in this world, yes.
And it just, you know, like, again, what I want her to do is knock this thing's fucking teeth out, right? You know, this is
yes.
my...
And make him eat it.
Yes, exactly. Squirt, squirt. I'm going to shit in your mouth, demon, because I'm from fucking Krypton, and I don't take that shit.
I'm telling you, if she shit in this thing's mouth...
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a recommend.
5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
5 stars.
It'd redeem the whole film.
Totally.
Like, if she just busted its teeth down its throat...
Yep.
And then sat on there and did the stuff,
dude,
man.
Hot lunch this demon. Do it.
And take to
it.
And then take his fucking lunch money and take a picture of it and send it to his demon mother and say your fucking son's garbage.
And then Supergirl could have a line that could trump Superman.
Yeah.
Huh. Never seen shit eat shit before.
And then Nigel goes, quite literally, eat shit.
And then she zaps him to the Phantom Zone.
Because
fuck that guy now.
Totally.
Everyone's going to the Phantom Zone. Send them all.
Jimmy Olsen, I think, belongs there.
Oh, yeah, pedophiles can go to the Phantom Zone, absolutely.
Well, Zoltar lives there.
He's the king of the Phantom Zone. Man.
But she doesn't beat this thing. Like, there's like,
no, she kicks it in the shins.
Well, there's magic going on. She's like, oh, I'm so weak. And then, like, Peter O'Toole's like, believe in yourself.
Out of nowhere, he Obi-Wan Kenobi's her. Yes. And it is uncalled for. You haven't built up that's possible in this universe.
Yeah, it's a total run, Luke, run. Yeah.
I would think I was crazy if I was Luke Skywalker. I'd be like, oh, fuck, that old man made me crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would put that lightsaber up to my head and turn it on. Dude. Let's fry these brains.
And by the way, note to rotten. Disney executives who are definitely listening, that's what I want to see. In one of these darn Star Wars movies that you're making, fucking lightsaber suicide.
Yeah.
I want to see it happen. Yes.
Let's say Reciprocu, man.
It
totally.
Be beautiful.
Blast it through your head. You look like Steve Martin doing the arrow bit for 2 seconds, and then you fall down dead. Amazing Star Wars death. You're welcome. Hey, Disney, you're welcome.
It would be great.
You could sell that T-shirt before the movie comes out, too.
So this monster's like dead.
It's dead, and then
she sends Selena and Blanche into a mirror.
Yes, which that's
not
the.
It's not. Is it?
I think it was
supposed to be.
Yes.
Because she doesn't she come out of the mirror or whatever?
No, yes. she breaks through just her patio door.
Yeah.
In this castle.
Know,
she just flies through an outside door.
For brevity, I'm gonna say it's the Phantom Zone.
I don't know where else it could be.
Maybe it's Cleveland. Who knows? I couldn't possibly.
Don't worry about it, Midvale. It's Cleveland's problem now.
Don't you know that every mirror goes to Cleveland? Squirt.
And I mean, like, squirt. Whatever. She grabs the Obahenderon and, like, I guess the president comes back into power at some point.
He comes out of the bunker and everything's fine. Well, this is something. This is interesting, actually, because this whole incident.
Mm-hmm.
And the presence of Supergirl herself, we never see any kind of montage where she's making national news.
No, she's not.
There's no thing about, like, there's another alien with God powers around. Mm-hmm. Everybody be alert.
Government cover-up.
Yeah.
She's been taken to Area 51 and dissected.
Well, that's the thing. I'm thinking, right, if this got out of hand, we just nuke Midvale, pave it over, man, build an airport there.
Yeah.
It never existed.
Oh, the Midvale International Airport? You haven't been there? It's beautiful.
I think we should definitely do that.
Nuke this fake town.
And, I mean, she says goodbye to Hart Bachner, who realizes that both he... There's a bunch of nonsense we're not going to get into where he is in love with Linda but not Supergirl, and then he realizes that they're both the same person.
Well, he doesn't need any clues. He's the only person in this universe that just takes a look and is like, wait a minute. That's a wig.
No, he's like, that's more of a brunette guy.
Yeah. Sorry, Supergirl.
I like Betty, not Veronica. Or the other way around, Veronica, not Betty.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, whichever it is. Squirt.
Something, Archie comic squirt. So she's like, but you understand why we can't be together, right, Hart Bachner? And he's like, that's cool. I'm going to go direct PCU in 10 years. See you later.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just going to keep looking great and doing things.
Yep, totally fine. Die Hard's just a few years off. Fine.
Hey, could you do me a favor and just tell your buddy, your cousin's buddy there to back off that little girl? Because that's fucked up. I mean, I work for that school, and I'm going to have to report, and I don't want to be the bad guy, so...
Yeah, it's tough enough being a janitor on the campus of an all-girls school, but it's unacceptable. He's giving a bad name to all handsome men working on this campus.
Not handsome, that's for sure. Mark McClure.
And this, in one of the greatest pieces of, like, we're just not paying attention to anything ever, it's like Hart Bachner... They all make their way down from the mountain somehow.
Sure.
Not even getting a ride from Supergirl. And... Like, it's like Supergirl says goodbye and flies out, and that's it, right? So then they have to spend all this time getting down the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. So then Hart Bachner, again, I think the center of town is where this Popeye's chicken is because they're all standing outside it again. And Supergirl flies over, and he's like, see you later, Supergirl. And I was like, she'd be gone for hours.
Yes.
She already flew away.
She's just doing donuts around the town.
I just want to make sure they get down safe. I'm not going to help them down. I'm just going to make sure they walk down this mountain safe. It's just no one was paying attention to Jack Squat making this movie, man.
Well, because she grabs the goddamn thing and goes in the water and, like, the credits start. And I'm like, wait. You need to show me Mia Farrow being like, it needs to be the end of Spaceballs when Dick Van Patten's dead and they turn the air back on. He goes, oh, yeah, I need that scene.
Anything. Yeah. And listen, I watched the one that was almost 2.5 hours. There's none of it. She goes underwater and I'm like, is this a sea town? What is happening? Credits.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. How do you not have this?
She needs to go back there and see all those skeletons laying around.
Yes. The corpses of her loved ones. And all those little kids. All the little Padawai youngins.
Oh no, man. It's Interstellar, man. It's been like 70 years since she left.
Just, they're all dust.
Yes.
All that's left is Peter O'Toole's weird trees that he kept making. And that's it. And you know, you wait till the end of the credits, and this movie is dedicated to 4 dead people
that died in production somehow.
Oh, is it? Is it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh no.
Doing what?
It's that's the only thing on Wikipedia. It just says, you know, like dedication. It's 3 people. A woman and 2 men, and they just say they all died during the course of production assistants and whatever else.
I saw this and I saw those names and I recognized that these are deceased individuals and I thought that is so sad. I would hate to have a film like this dedicated to me.
If I am killed on the set of your shitty movie and you have the audacity and the ignorance to dedicate it to me, I will haunt you for eternity.
Exactly, not in my name, Supergirl.
Yeah.
Because you know in the future, a bunch of fat jerks are going to talk about this.
Yes, of course. And here we are.
A bunch of fat jerks.
And here we'll be again. It's Interstellar all over again.
Dude, 31 years later, we're talking about how this shitty movie's dedicated to these dead people. You don't want that.
No.
You got to put that in a contract when you sign on to work on a movie. If I die, just don't. I don't even care if it's the best movie ever.
Yep.
Don't dedicate it to me.
No.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, even if I'm on Schindler's List and it's like, you know what, if I die, you could dedicate. Well, you're not going to dedicate Schindler's List to me. You got a couple other people to dedicate it to. People ahead of me in line there.
Yeah, there. It's a lot of names, Steve.
Holy moly. You know what? Would anybody recommend Supergirl?
Oh, man, no. It's so long. I mean, maybe if you can find that 95-minute VHS tape.
Sweet day.
Go for it. I think that there's, again, I mean, like, it's kind of unfortunate because there hasn't been a headlining superheroine movie since, aside from Catwoman and maybe some one-offs here and there.
Elektra.
Garbage.
You know, garbage.
Like, it's just. And it's not the fact that you can't make a good superhero movie about a woman, because read any superhero comic, a Wonder Woman comic, read a Supergirl comic, read a Catwoman comic, read an Elektra comic. You can write those stories. Those stories exist. But for some reason, no one knows how to do that.
It's garbage. And don't, like, bring your fucking A-team to it.
Yes.
Don't bring half-ass in it, yeah, whatever, it's a Supergirl movie. Because you watch this, and the whole thing is, yeah, whatever, it's just a Supergirl movie. Mm-hmm. Which, and then, fuck you, you already made Superman 3, which is terrible.
Yep.
And then you made Superman 4, which is also terrible.
Mark McClure in all 5 of those movies, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The only man.
He's just the thread, dude. The thread connecting this shitty fabric.
Yeah, no, this is the movie version of the Phantom Zone. It is impossibly long. It is boring as shit. I hate it. And you're right. We need female superhero movies.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of not a superhero, but I think that Agent Carter show is pretty okay.
Yeah.
Agent Carter's good. Really good. Jessica Jones looks awesome.
It does look cool. I think, again, we're doing this because that Supergirl TV show is coming out. We're doing this a little before it premieres, so I don't know if it's good or bad. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. Red Tornado is a thing that exists.
Hey, you already told me he's a robot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's
I'm learning.
Like, well, it's just kind of this thing where it's like there's this part of my brain where I'm like, oh my God, Red Tornado, look what you did to the world, Steve. Now the whole world has to be this way. It's your nightmare and your dream.
Converging into one CW TV show.
Or CBS.
Oh, is this? Oh, yeah, CBS, you're right. Mm-hmm. Another station I don't watch. Yeah, you know what? I'm not recommending it. It took me 2 days to get through this movie. Granted, I was watching the almost 2.5 hour cut. But it's just totally mismanaged and a blown opportunity to branch out your franchise into a cool thing. Because, like, think of it this way. Like, if this movie was a success, you have Superman 4, you could team them up.
Yes.
Like, you know, she could come back in playing Supergirl in this movie.
What they should have done is probably have her in Superman 3. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, backdoor pilot that shit.
Yes, exactly. Let's do it that way. Let's test the waters a bit. And then we could bring her out on her own adventure, and that'll be fun. And no witches. How about no witches?
You know what? Squirt, no witches. Mm-hmm. Witches in superhero movies or science fiction, as we saw with that Ewoks movie.
Yeah, no, it's trouble. You don't want witches.
That's Supergirl from 1984, directed by Jeanette Zwark. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. And, of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Now, clue for next week's episode, Terry Kaiser.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, indeed. That could mean a couple of things. All of it's trouble. So until next week, when we're talking about Terry Kaiser, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Take it squirty.